if we as individual clinicians, individual therapists, and or programs and agencies don't continue to collect outcome data and demonstrate that what we're doing is actually helping our clients, then I do see us losing funding.
Welcome to the Psychotherapy Notes podcast. Big information, little episodes.
Welcome once again to the Psychotherapy Notes podcast. I'm your host, Ben Caldwell. On our last episode, we talked about measurement and the idea that most therapists really don't know in any kind of concrete way how good we are at our jobs. As a result, we're prone to overestimating our own effectiveness. But agencies are finding it harder and harder to get away with that. Their funding sources are demanding hard evidence that their money is being well spent, and that the agencies they fund are in fact able to provide meaningful evidence that they're helping people with that money. Casey Meinster is an example of someone whose job it is to gather, interpret, and ultimately provide that evidence. We sat down for a conversation with her to find out how she does it.
So my name is Casey Meinster, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm currently the director of evidence-based practices at Hathaway Sycamores out of Pasadena. Yeah, so Hathaway Sycamores is over 100 years old, I believe, and it's a community mental health and welfare agency. We have 11 locations throughout LA County, and all of our sites, well, majority of our sites hold a range of services throughout the continuum of care. So from prevention and early intervention services that are very short-term in nature, public health in nature, all the way up to residential or high-intensity housing services, and everything in between, like school-based services, regular outpatient services, and that kind of thing. We get funding through state and federal funds. We also do private grants to sponsor certain programs. So there's a plethora of funding streams that support our agency. So when we measure client outcomes, the most obvious way is through standardized measures. So we have, you know, three required standardized measures that everyone in the agency uses depending on the age of our clients. And that is the CAFAS, the Child and Adolescent Functional Assessment Scale, the OQ series. So we have one for children and adolescents, the adult version and the parent version. And then we also use the ROLES, which is the Restrictiveness of Living Environment Scale. So those are the three main ones that are required throughout the agency. But then depending on program or the use of evidence-based practice, there's additional standardized measures that we use to focus on, you know, specific problems like depression or trauma or anxiety. So that's the most probably official way that we measure client outcomes. But another way that the agency measures outcomes are things like length of stay. So we match up how long our clients are in our services compared to county benchmarks to see if we're holding them as long as we should be, depending on what their diagnosis is or what their, you know, level of intensity is. We also measure diagnosis at intake and discharge to see if we're making an impact. Another thing that's been big in the last couple of years is the restrictiveness of living idea. So are we moving clients down a level of care? So if they come to us with very intensive services, are we discharging them at a lower level of care? And that demonstrates that we've made progress with them. So there's other sort of non-standardized, more macro level ways that we measure our outcomes. It's grown, our measurement has grown a lot in the last few years. We have a very sophisticated research and evaluation department that's full of paid and unpaid interns that do pretty sophisticated analysis of our data. We also have a very sophisticated electronic health record that supports that process. And I think that has grown more and more over the last few years because we're needing to answer to people in a different way. Like our stakeholders are wanting to know if we're meeting our mission, if we're achieving the outcomes that we should be so that we can continue to receive funding. There's a lot of resistance with standardized measurement and even just data in general. I say that the stages of grief are very similar, that people go through denial and sadness and anger when they're being asked to measure these outcomes. And when we ask feedback, we've done satisfaction surveys and we've done just more informal anecdotal, you know, surveying of our staff. And they're common, the resistance is common. It's they don't trust the results. They say clients are over or under reporting, or they don't understand the questions, they don't think they answered it honestly, so there seems to be like a lack of faith in the results or what the measurement's telling us. We also hear that the measures aren't normed on the populations they serve, so they feel like they were designed for a different set of clients. I don't know who those clients are. Another common thing is people will say that psychological experiences are hard to quantify. So they'll say, like, I can tell you about the progress or lack of progress more than these numbers will show you, that they don't trust that a number is going to do better than their clinical observation or impression. So those are probably the three most common ones. But in my experience, I think it has a lot to do with discomfort and understanding how to score and interpret the measures. The more training we do, the more, and the context around why we do the measures, how you can use it clinically on a more micro level and then use the scores on a more macro level, it seems like some of the resistance goes down the more comfort they have. I think that when clinicians say that, you know, psychological experiences are hard to quantify in this way, I think that that's another sort of misunderstanding or myth about the use of standardized measures, that it's not intended to take place of, you know, their own observation or their clinical interview or their skills, that it's just an additional tool to provide weight or an additional voice to something that they're already establishing. And when we conduct trainings at our agency on these measures, like, for example, with the youth outcome questionnaire that we use with every client we have that's 12 to 18, that has 64 questions. So we often tell the clinicians, like, there's no way in your clinical interview, in addition to all the other things that you're doing with them, that you're going to be able to cover all 64 of these items. So this is an efficient way to sort of get to the bottom line and maybe uncover something that the client's not going to tell you verbally or that you're not going to assess for in that way. Hathaway Sycamores has these fantastic dashboards that they put together that showcases the data for a program or a site or a service area. So it's a bunch of clinicians grouped together based on either like a geographical location or a funding stream or a particular program. And the dashboards will showcase all this data that I've been talking about, like the standardized measures, pre-post match scores, or length of stay, or demographics, or any of that. And it will showcase trends, like it seems like this program's not really treating trauma the way we thought it was, or the stabilization that we say that our goal is, we're not having as big of effect as we want, or seems like we're really doing this well, you know, is that our intention? So it will show trends, but it groups all the clinicians together. I've never seen any of the dashboards or in any of the conversations that be focused uniquely to one provider on that team or one clinician on the team. I think that the trend is going to be more of the same and more intentional. I think in the last 5 or 6 years of my own experience, I feel like it's been a lot of, you know, sort of scrambling and doing maybe more than necessary to cover all the bases. And I think in the next 10 years, programs and agencies will become more strategic and intentional with their measurement so that we're not collecting a lot, but only what we actually need to demonstrate our effectiveness. We'll match what our missions are.
Casey, you have a really cool job.
I do. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
If you are interested in any of those assessment instruments Casey mentioned, we have the full names and links for each of them over on our website at psychotherapynotes.com. Just do a search for Casey, and the page for this episode should be your first result. This puts a wrap on our first season of the podcast, but we're planning to return bigger and better in 2018. If you have comments on our work so far or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover in the future, don't hesitate to send us an email. Go to the Contact Us page at psychotherapynotes.com and let us know what you think. From Los Angeles, I'm Ben Caldwell. See you next time.
The Psychotherapy Notes podcast is a production of Ben Caldwell Labs. Visit our website at bencaldwelllabs.com for therapist training, advocacy tools, license exam prep, and much more.